Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. A series of contemporary plays for radio. Earplay.
This week, Earplay presents the BBC production of The Last Phone-In by Keith Waterhouse. Waterhouse was born in Leeds, England. During his varied career, he has worked in almost all fields of writing, as a journalist, novelist, and playwright. He is perhaps best known for his novel, Billy Liar, which was subsequently adapted with huge success for stage and film. He writes regularly for British radio and television, often in collaboration with Willis Hall. The Last Phone-In by Keith Waterhouse.
Second City Radio, reaching the North Second City on 175 meters medium wave. Stay tuned for Mike Farrow's personal call on Second City Radio, midnight through four.
The author of the night show.
Minicabs, minicabs, minicabs. If you've been to a party, better let Speedway 24-hour service do the driving. Simply dial 32001. Get home safe and sound in a Speedway minicab. 32001.
Second City Radio wishes to thank all those who answered a recent advertisement for audio typist, trainee VAT, invoice clerks, and senior grade admin personnel. Owing to unforeseen circumstances, these vacancies no longer exist, and no further applications can be considered.
I said,
Go to sleep.
I am asleep. Aren't you asleep?
Joseph's Bedding Center, City Arcade. For beds and mattresses you can afford.
Enticing. It's Second City Radio.
And it's 17 minutes after the witching hour of midnight. No, it isn't. It's 17 after the even more witching hour of 1 o'clock. But still bunches of time to make your personal call to me, Mike Farrow. Hey, listen, why don't you dial 24400? That's 24400. And if you talk nicely to that lovely Gloria on the switchboard, who knows, she might just put you at the head of the queue. Isn't that right, Glo? Well, no, since you ask, it is definitely not right, but that's what she'll do because she likes a bit of chatting up, does Glo, and who can blame her? Hey, where were we? I tell you what, millions and trillions of calls during the commercial break to say that Nat King Cole, in fact, did appear in films, including Cat Ballou, to name but several. You'll remember that Albert... wait a minute, no, not Albert. I can see my mate Dave shaking his little naughty head in his goldfish bowl there. It's not Albert. Harold! Thank you, Dave. I knew it began with an A. So, what Harold said, if you were tuned in a few minutes ago, was, what a pity there was no film record of Nat King Cole tinkling away on the, you see, my trouble is, I never get to see old movies on the box. I'm always working. Correction, always was working. just think, tomorrow night, feed up, big box of chocolates, bacon, sunny, you know what'll happen, don't you? There'll be nothing on except Panorama. Anyway, apologies to all you film buffs, and who has Glo got dangling on the end of the line? It's Margaret. Are you still there, Margaret?
Still here, Michael.
Oh, dear, the phone bill, it doesn't bear thinking about, does it? You were saying, Margaret, before we were so rudely interrupted...
Well, I was saying about the decimal coinage. Why we can't have a 25p coin, like the old half-crown.
The old half-crown, that takes you back, doesn't it? You know, Margaret, the last half-crown that passed through my hands... was in my very first wage packet.
Never.
It's true.
Well, I won't call you a fibber, Michael, because I know you're a young man, but I didn't think you were as young as all that.
I was as young as all that. 19 years old, just left art school, straight down to labor. Do you know what I did my first job?
No idea.
I was a window dresser. So if you were walking past the Bon Marché in Market Street, say about 6 years ago, You would have seen me minnying about with dusters on my feet. I've known hard times, I can tell you.
Oh, you've come a long way since then, Michael.
You reckon?
Well, to become what you might call a household name in 6 years, it's not bad going, is it?
And tomorrow I'm back at the labor exchange. Something tells me this is where I came in. Pause to dab eyes with grubby little handkerchief. You were saying, Margaret, a 25p coin. Well, I can see nothing wrong with that idea at all. It'd be, let me see now, it would be a 5-bob piece, wouldn't it? Which, when you consider the way prices have been going, is exactly the same as the old half crown. Hey, Margaret, many thanks indeed for calling.
Can I just say something else, Michael?
Well, if you make it very snappy.
Well, it's more of a question, really. I won't say what everybody else ringing up has been saying, how very sorry I am that the program's coming off the air, because you must be fed up of hearing it by now. Only...
Yeah, well, I must confess, it's been getting a little like a funeral parlor in here, what with everybody offering their condolences, old Dave sitting there in his black tie. I tell you, Margaret, all we need is a wreath. No, but seriously, it is very nice to have you all your good wishes there, and you're sorry, and we're sorry, you're sorry. But we still got two and a half hours to go, so let's have some other topic, right?
Right. My own sentiments, exactly. Only what I want to ask, Michael, my question is this. Why, out of all the programs they could have taken off, I mean, all right, these are hard times and there's got to be economies all round, but when you consider some of the rubbish that gets on, why pick on the one program that's so popular and so helpful, especially to those who, like a lot of us, have trouble in sleeping?
Now, that is a good question, Margaret.
Because it has been popular, has your program, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you remember my sister. Her name's Susan.
Well, you know, we've had a whole bunch of Susans on the show, Margaret.
Well, it was about 2 months ago, and it was about a pair of shoes. The stitching of one of them had come apart, and she couldn't get satisfaction.
I remember that, Margaret. I told her to write to the manufacturer. Susan, right!
And through that advice from you, she got a replacement pair within a fortnight. And she was going to ring up and thank you, but unfortunately she's in St. Mildred's Hospital.
I'm sorry to hear that, Mildred. Mildred, I'm saying it. Margaret, sorry. Nothing too serious, I hope.
She's having her right breast removed.
That's tough. That's really tough. Margaret, when you visit your sister, give her all our love from me, Dave, and Glow. And if she's listening, Mildred, get well soon. Margaret, thanks for the call.
No, it's Susan.
Susan. Sorry about that, Susan.
No, I'm Margaret. It's my sister's name that's Susan. Her that's having her right breast removed.
Right, yeah, of course it is. Yeah, she's Susan, you're Margaret, Mildred is the saint. Yeah, I tell you what it is, Margaret, I'll let you in a bit of a secret here. Now, this being the last night, Dave and Glow and me have had one or two bevvies before coming on the air.
Oh, I don't blame you.
Nothing too strong, just a touch of the sherbet aid. But there's a moral for us all. Dave, hurry up with the black coffee, will you? Margaret, hey, thanks again. Now it's coming up to 1:30, and we're here till 4. Let's have another call. Or let's not have another call. Who we got?
Hello?
And a very good hello to you, whoever you may be.
Hello?
yeah, hello.
Is that Mike?
None other. What do you want, Prue?
Oh, this is Joe.
Joe.
Good evening.
Good evening, Joe.
Or should I say good morning?
Joe, good evening, good morning, good night. It's all the same to me. What's on your mind?
Well, it may very well be stale news for all I know, because I missed last night's programme, and I missed the previous night's programme because I was working. I do 2 nights on and 2 nights off.
And this is one of your nights off, right?
Pardon?
I said, Joe, this must be one of your nights off.
Oh, this, as you say, is one of my nights off.
What do you do for a living, Joe?
Pardon?
What's your job? What do you do on your 2 nights on?
Oh, I'm employed by a brewery.
A brewery?
Pardon?
Joe, if you'd been here an hour ago, you would have thought Dave and Glow and me worked in a brewery, in the tasting room, right? I still can't see Dave for that pile of empties he's got in there. It's disgusting. Hey, what do you do at the brewery, Joe?
What do I do, did you say?
Right?
You mean the exact nature of my job?
Well, this isn't What's My Line, Joe. Let's not make a production number of it. Very briefly, I mean, do you mix the hops or what?
Oh, no. Now, that's a popular misconception, Mike. If I may call you Mike, there isn't a hop process. Certainly not in the variety of ale that we brew, which is what you might term a lager-type ale. It's more of a chemical process.
Well, that is fascinating. Joe, we are going to take a break here. Can you hang on?
Pardon?
It's Second City Radio, reaching the North Second City on 175 meters medium wave. Owing to revised schedules, the times of several regular programs have been changed. See your evening newspaper for details.
What? Is that it? Dave says that's it. No commercials. No commercials? Blimey, O'Reilly, no wonder we're going bankrupt. I didn't say that. Dave, did I open my mouth? Dave says I definitely did not speak. It was the howling of the horrible wind through the studio. Well, who's on the line to 24400 personal call?
Hello?
Well, a happy 1:34 a.m. to you, my friend. Your name is...
Pardon?
Name?
This is Joe.
Surprise, surprise. I had a horrible suspicion it might be Joe. I told Glow to cut you off, but you know what she's like? She's fallen asleep over her knitting.
Well, I don't know.
No. I'm joking, Joe, honestly. It's a delight to hear your voice. You were saying...
Pardon?
Oh, you rang up, Joe, to say something. What was it you rang up to say?
Oh, my question is this. What do you think, or what is your opinion of a certain item that appeared in a certain newspaper on Monday of this week? That will be the 14th.
Well, that's a heck of a riddle, Joe. I mean, there's a lot to read when you pick up a newspaper. Why don't we just narrow it down?
Pardon?
I said, Joe, I don't know what you're on about. You're talking about something that was in the papers, what, 2 days ago? Well, what?
Well, it might help if I mention the paper in question, which was the Evening Dispatch. I'm fairly certain of that, Mike, because it's the only newspaper I'll have in the house.
Well, what a very nice free plug. No wonder they don't need to advertise. You're doing it for them, for nothing.
Only some of these papers, you see, with all the nudes and showgirls and all like that. I think it's disgusting. Now, that is if you've got children, which I have.
How many children, Joe?
Wherefore, for that reason, I only take the Evening Dispatch, which, as a general rule, just gives you the news pure and simple. Pardon?
I didn't speak, Joe. Just do your commercial.
Well, I was surprised to see in the Evening Dispatch of Monday the 14th an item of what I personally would describe as scurrilous gossip, and I wonder how you feel.
That's it, is it?
Pardon?
I said, that's it, is it? You've said your piece.
I was hoping for your comment, Mike, about that particular item, seeing as it was about your personal life.
Yeah, well, we know all about that, Joe. And all I can say is, don't believe all you read in the newspapers.
Normally, I would agree with you. No, normally, I would agree with you. But this item, which was in our very own evening paper, the Evening Dispatch, said that you and your good lady was contemplating a trial separation.
Joe, please...
Now, whether I've quoted your exact words or not, I couldn't say, but it was definitely to the effect as stated in that report.
Joe, please, listen. I don't discuss my personal life on the air,
but
okay?
You do. Well, yeah, but you do.
I mean, yes, in fact, I do. There's a whole area of things I am happy, ready, and willing to talk about, but not personal, right?
Well...
I mean, fine, sure, by all means, this is a personal program. It's called Personal Call, for God's sake, or was, or won't be after 4 a.m. this morning. And, all right, lots of people want to discuss their personal problems. Well, that is their choice. They don't have to. Nobody is holding a gun to their heads. But, Joe, and anybody who's listening, my life is my life, okay? And I'll tell you what, in fact, is all you tell me, which is what I am prepared to reveal out of my own private life. But not to be cross-questioned about it, okay? I mean, who needs it? Whew. Hey, hasn't it gone quiet? Well, let's say goodnight to Joe, that inveterate reader of a certain evening paper, which shall be nameless, and let's have another call. Oh, Glow, I'm waiting. She'll have to go, you know, as indeed who will not. I tell you what, Glow, put someone through for God's sake, and I'll shove in a kind word for you at the labor exchange tomorrow morning. Can I say fairer than that? I cannot say fairer than that, Glow. Is there life on this planet?
Hello, Mike.
Hello, you creature from outer space. The name is?
This is Steve.
Steve. Hey, that's a nice name for a boy. What do you do, Steve?
I'm a student.
Student of what? He doesn't know. Well, he does know, but he's not saying. I'll be with you in apple blossom time. Hey, Steve. Steve, say something if it's only good evening. Halt a while, my friends. Dave is waving his little short arms about, and when Dave waves his little short arms about, something has happened. Or rather, not happened. We have lost Steve. Glow, how can you do this to me? A student yet? We're just about to learn the secrets of the universe. Oh, you pulled the plug out, haven't you, Glow? Got caught in your knitting needles, right? Right. I'll tell you, it was a close secret not to be repeated outside these four walls. Our Glow is definitely stoned out of her tiny mind. It's true. She is definitely not used to the blackcurrant-flavored wine gums. Hey, come back, Steve, wherever you are. All is forgiven.
Hello?
Oh, my God, the magic of radio transmission. Steve?
No.
Let me guess, not Steve.
Pardon?
Oh, God.
This is Joe.
Yes, I know it is Joe. A little tiny voice within me said, this is Joe.
I think we were cut off.
As indeed we were, Joe, owing to circumstances beyond our control. But, Joe, I do reckon you had your little say back there.
Pardon?
I said you had your call. You said what you had to say. Let's move on, okay?
Oh, by all means. Uh-huh. With all my best apologies for raising the question of you and your good lady. Whether or not you're going in for a trial separation.
Don't mention it, Joe.
Only I know what it could mean for you. Or should I say it might possibly mean, if this report in the Evening Dispatch is true, because personally, I have been married now for 27 years.
Well, congratulations. And you say you've got how many children?
But perhaps we could move on from that thorny subject, if that's all right with you. Mm-hmm. One thing I'd like to raise, Mike, if it's not too personal a question, is what the lady was saying earlier about your program. About it being taken off.
Yeah, well, we've done all that, Joe.
Pardon?
We have talked about the program, Joe. We've had the obituaries, we've sung the hymns, we've scattered the ashes. Blow, do we have another call? Joe, I think somebody is waiting to get through.
Only where I would take it up with that lady, I've forgotten her name, but on a point of issue where she said, why are they taking your program off above all others? I would have thought myself the reason was obvious.
Joe thinks the reason is obvious. Well, go ahead, Joe.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Cost.
Pardon? Jeez, he's got me at it now.
Cost. The cost of your program. Because when you work it out, it is definitely unjustified. I'm speaking now as comparing one program with another, Mike. That is, daytime programs and nighttime programs. And being as how I work two nights off and two nights on, I have what I consider is a fair opportunity to watch, correction, to listen to both daytime and nighttime. And what I say is this, however popular a program may be, it is definitely the daytime programs that the majority are listening to. So why use the same amount of staff and all the resources for what is basically a nighttime minority? Do you follow me, Mike?
Yeah, you're talking a load of old rubbish.
Pardon?
Pardon? Pardon? You should stop eating radishes, Joe. Now listen, all this staff and so-called resources, do you know how many people it actually takes to run a program like this? Well, never mind a program like this, this very program, Personal Call. Mike Farrow's Personal Call. How many people, Joe, do you think are in the studio at this very moment in time?
How many people did you say?
Right.
Including everybody.
That's what I said, Joe. How many people?
Hard to say. 15.
15.
Thereabouts.
Any advance on 15?
Pardon?
You're sticking on 15?
Yes, I'll say 15.
Well, you're way out, Joe. I'll tell you who you've got. There's me, right? There's old Dave pulling the levers in the little signal box. And there's Glow on the switchboard. And that is it. Zilch. Three people, Joe.
I find that very difficult to believe.
I don't care whether you find it difficult or not, Joe. Three people are keeping this show on the air for 4 hours. And two of them, I may tell you, are stoned out of their tiny minds. So what's the big expense you were talking about, Joe? All these resources we're supposed to be using up.
Well, you can't tell me you do the program for nothing, Mike.
What's that supposed to mean, Joe?
Well, what I'm driving at is this. Granted that you might only have a skeleton staff, I'm not disputing that, but you yourself must attract a very high rate of salary.
How much, Joe?
It's not for me to say.
There is a lot that is not for you to say, but you're saying it. Come on, you tell me. How much? How much am I being paid?
Well, must be thousands.
How much?
I'll hazard a guess, Mike. 10,000 a year.
Would you believe I can earn more money driving minicabs?
Pardon?
I said I could earn more money driving minicabs. Let Speedway 24-hour service do the driving. Mike Farrow, out of work, radio dog's body at your service. There's another free commercial. So what do you say to that, Joe?
I find it very difficult to credit.
Yes, well, you would in your state of health, wouldn't you? Let's have another call, please.
Could I just add one further comment?
No. Who you got lined up there, Glow?
Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead.
This is Steve.
Steve. Wait a minute. Where have I heard that name before? That's right. You vanished into thin air. Steve, right, yes.
Yeah, we were cut off.
And you're a student, right?
Right.
Of?
Sociology and community values.
Well, there's a lot of it about. Hey, listen, Steve. We got to take a break here. Will you hang grimly onto your telephone and don't let Glow cut you off? Is that a promise?
Okay.
With you in 30 seconds.
The Off-Through-the-Night Show. Yeah. Enticing. The fabulous, I can see the radio.
Second City Radio, reaching the North Second City on 175 meters medium wave.
Hey, all you night owls, insomniacs, and waking dreamers, this is the big one. Personal call, midnight through 4 a.m. with me, Mike Farrow, and Dave in his little soundproof box. Say hello nicely, Dave. And the delectable Glow to take all your calls on 24400. Say hello, Glow.
Why, hello.
175 meters on your radio dial. 24400 on your telephone dial. Don't go away. This is Mike Farrow with you after this message.
Enticing.
Are you a school leaver with 3 O-levels or more? There are exciting opportunities for you as an audio typist or trainee VAT invoice clerk with Second City Radio. For full details...
Audio typist, trainee VAT invoice clerk, and senior grade admin personnel.
Unforeseen circumstances, these vacancies no longer exist, and no further applications can be considered.
Darling, your engagement ring. What did you do to deserve it?
Joseph's Bedding Center, City Arcade. For beds and mattresses... you can afford.
Oh, wow, you really screwed that up, didn't you, Dave? It's no good, folks. I'll just have to keep him off the tomato juice. You should see Dave now, slumped at his console with his head in his hands. Remorse, that's what it is. Boy, did you ever get your knickers in a twist, Dave. Dave's coming around. He's looking up. He's smiling. He raises a finger. He raises 2 fingers. What can he mean? Never mind, Dave. Hey, it's 18 off 2 o'clock. This is Mike Farrow with your personal call. And we've got Steve on the line. Steve.
Hello, Michael.
Steve, your voice is broken. That definitely is not Steve. That is definitely not Steve.
I think he must have been cut off again.
I'm going to go mad. Glow, have you got a fella in there? Because she's definitely not paying attention to her job, are you, Glow? I'll tell you what. Say hello, Dave. If I can interrupt your little snooze up there, I'm asking Glow to say hello.
Exciting opportunities for you as an audio typist.
I give up. I really give up. Honestly, it's like a madhouse in here tonight. All right, we have lost Steve. Dave is definitely not to be trusted. Who have we got there?
It's me again, Michael. Margaret.
Oh, yeah, I thought I recognized your voice. Margaret, how did you get back again?
Well, I suppose your switchboard lady, that lovely Gloria, must have put me through.
Yes, she must have done just that. You see, the thing is, Margaret, we do have a little rule on the program. No calls from the same person twice in one evening. I mean, be fair, because there's lots and lots and lots and whole bunches of lovely people just queuing up to talk on personal call, and we feel...
Oh, well, that's just it, Michael. Apparently there aren't.
Aren't what? Who? What?
Well, there's nobody waiting to call in. Not at the present moment. Not according to your lovely Gloria. Because I'm quite conversant with the rules, Michael. I agree entirely. And all I wanted to do was ring up and leave a message. But no, as soon as I got through, your lovely Glow said, well, there's nobody else calling. You might as well have another bash.
Another bash?
Her very words. You ask her.
Do you know what you're going to read in the headlines tomorrow morning, Margaret? Telephone operator stabbed with her own knitting needles. She is the end. And who says there's nobody else waiting to call? I mean, what happened to Steve?
Well, may you ask. I think you're having one of those nights, Michael.
You can say that again, darling. All right, Margaret, since you're here, and while we revive Glow with smelling salts, what was it you wanted to say by way of a P.S.?
Well, quite seriously, Michael, I just wanted to say and to apologize on behalf of all your listeners for what that gentleman just said on your program.
Who was that, Margaret?
Joe, I think he said his name was. Because I think the way he spoke to you was quite disgraceful, quite disgraceful.
Yeah, well, we get all sorts on the program, Margaret. It makes things lively. I hope you'll agree. What was it you took exception to in particular? Do you mean the idea he got into his tiny pointed head that I'm earning thousands and millions of pounds?
Not particularly that, although I will say this, he was talking a lot of codswallop.
Right.
Only fair's fair, he had a misconception and you sorted him out, as only you could have done. But what really got my back up, if you want to know, Michael, was what he had the cheek and impudence to say about your personal life.
Yeah, well, there's always one, Margaret. There's always one on every program.
Mm, so he'd no reason to talk to you as he did. Mm. Because whoever they are, no matter how well known or in the public eye or whatever, a person's own life is their own affair.
Right.
And I know what I'm talking about.
I'm sure you do, Margaret.
Because I've been through it myself.
Yeah. What's that, Margaret?
I say, I've been through it myself, what you're going through at this present time. If what that gentleman said was true, I've had grief in my life, Michael.
Thanks for calling, Margaret.
My husband left me when I was 27 years old, and I have not set eyes on him from that day to this. and I'll be 46 next Wednesday.
Well, hey, happy birthday, Margaret. Or should I say happy birthday next Wednesday? What a shame we won't be on the air to talk to you. Wish you a really happy time. Well, what are you going to be doing? Anything special? Celebration?
I shall be all on my own, Michael.
Oh, sorry to hear that, Margaret. No friends, no relatives?
Well, my sister's in hospital, as you know, and I've got nobody else. Not since he went. And that's 19 years gone by that I've been on my own. Except for my sister. Which is why, as I said before, I think it's such a crying shame that a program such as yours, where you can always ring up and have a chat, and I've always thought of you as an old friend, Michael, I think it's a shame it's coming on. Because I'll really miss you, Michael. I really will.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Margaret. That's very nice indeed.
Because hearing your voice every night has been a real comfort to me. And talking to you, of course. Do you know how many of our little chats we've had since your program started?
Let me guess. 6? 9? No? I give up.
47.
47? That's incredible.
And shall I tell you something, Michael? There's been many and many a time when you've been the only person I've spoken to the whole day long.
Oh, that's a shame, Margaret. That's a real shame. You don't meet many friends then, say, when you go out shopping?
No, I don't get out at all these days, Michael. Not unless I'm forced to. Oh. Because of my leg, as you know.
The leg, right. Yeah, how is the leg these days, Margaret?
Much worse, I'm very sorry to say.
Oh, that's tough. That's really tough.
Still, that's enough of my trouble.
Great.
But there's just one thing I'd like to add, Michael, if I may. Because I think you'll agree with me that after all this time, I have earned the right to talk to you as a friend.
Margot, anyone who has called me, how many times again? 68?
47.
Yeah, anyone who has called me 47 times is my friend for life. You go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, and don't take this the wrong way, don't let your marriage go the same way as mine.
Yeah, well, thanks, Margot. But like I was saying earlier, there's a whole range of things we can talk about, so why bore the listeners with my personal problems?
So you admit it's a problem?
What?
Well, it's true what we've read in the papers, that your marriage is breaking up.
But Margot...
Margaret, actually. You'll get it right one of these days, Michael.
Yes, Margaret. Look, Margaret, I appreciate your concern, but let's keep off the subject, okay? Agreed?
Agreed, Michael. So long as you'll let me wish you all the very best and hope everything turns out all right and wish you all you wish yourself.
Oh, that's nice.
And you won't forget your old friend, Margaret, will you?
No way.
And Michael... I don't know what you'll be doing with yourself in the near future.
Well, you know, I asked myself the same question. Digging holes in the road, I shouldn't wonder.
Oh, something will turn up. I'm sure it will, with all your great talent. Only, I was wondering, Michael, if you do find time on your hands, I don't suppose you're ever in the neighborhood of Arndale Avenue, are you?
Arndale Avenue. Where's that, Margaret?
It's on the Hugh Dalton estate. Only... if you could find time to drop in one of these fine days, I should like nothing more than to offer you a cup of tea and a piece of my Madeira cake for all the pleasure you've given me.
I might just take you up on that, Margaret. Oh. Hey, why don't I do this? Why don't I switch you back to Glow, she'll write down your name and address, and then who knows? One of these days you'll open your front door and there in front of you will be this haggard, emaciated figure in tattered clothes, and he will collapse at your feet, crying, "Water! Water!" Let me put you back to Glow.
Oh, thank you very much. And I shall look forward to when that day comes. Oh, Michael, just one more thing.
Yes.
I love you.
What?
I love you.
I love you too, baby. Here's Glow. Hang about. Here isn't Glow. Oh, Gloria, we're waiting. Oh, God. Dave is attempting to communicate from his soundproof greenhouse in the sky. What is it, Dave? She's gone for... well, that's nice. That's very nice. Here we are broadcasting to millions and bouncing by satellite all over the universe, as far as halfway up the M1. And one of our leading technicians goes off to powder her nose. That's charming. I tell you what, Dave, we must definitely keep her off the apple juice. That goes for you too, my friend. Yeah, cheers, Dave. First tonight, huh? Are you still there, Marjorie?
Hey, Margaret.
Oh, yeah, Margaret, as you are sometimes called. Well, of course you're still there because there's nobody to cut you off, is there? And when the delectable Glow goes off to where no man can reach her, she could be gone for hours. Days, even. Well, Margaret, we'd better keep on talking.
Oh, dear. I feel embarrassed now, Michael.
What about Glow running off to the ladies? Don't be embarrassed. She does it all the time, though usually in the commercial break.
No, I didn't mean that, Michael. I mean I'm embarrassed about what I said.
What you said when, Margaret?
When I signed off, or thought I was signing off. When I said I loved you.
Oh, yeah, I see. I'm with you. Well, Margaret, as far as I'm concerned, I think it was a very lovely thing to say, and I'll tell you what, I think you're a very lovely person.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Just so long as you didn't take it the wrong way, by which I mean to say it was supposed to be more of a motherly expression. I mean, there was no, what you might call, sexual connotations.
Well, I should hope not. This is a family show, folks.
Only it's been a very long time since I've thought about that sort of thing, Michael. Because there's no point in wanting what you can't get. That's what I always say.
What I always say, too, Margaret. Is Glow back, Dave? Ta-da. Glow is not back. Margaret, do you read much at all? What do you do in the evenings? Do you read, you sew, watch telly, or what?
I can sense that you want me to change the subject, don't you, Michael?
We don't want to get raided, do we? We don't want the fuzz around here, do we? Hello, hello, hello. What's all this here, running a sexy chat show, are we?
Oh, I quite agree. I quite agree. Only I can't help wondering, Michael, considering some of the things that do get said on your program, what your bosses think of it all.
My bosses?
The higher-ups, the bigwigs.
You don't think that they actually listen to my show, do you? I mean, you don't think that they're all sitting at home in their big houses with the tranny blaring out at 2 a.m, do you? Do me a favor, they're all in kip.
Well, they must listen sometime.
What?
I say they must listen sometime.
Oh, sure, sure. Now listen, do you know how many times the director of programs has heard this show? And not live, incidentally. Oh, no, that would interfere with his beauty sleep, wouldn't it? He has heard, Marjorie, exactly 1 hour of tape.
What
did he think of it? Well, I'll tell you what he thought of it. He thought I was rambling away to a bunch of neurotic lunatics.
Oh, charming.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? As you say, it's very charming, is that?
So if he takes that view of us, why does he keep the program on?
Well, he's not keeping the program on, is he? Or hadn't you noticed?
No, you misunderstand me, Michael. I mean, why did he keep it on originally? I mean, before you started having all these economy cuts and that.
Because it's cheap. Because Muggins here works for peanuts, and the rest of you Mugginses who ring up every night work for nothing.
Oh, I see. Well, I can only speak for myself, but as one of the Mugginses concerned, all I can say is that it hasn't been work for me. On the contrary, it's been my very great pleasure.
Well, that's kind of you to say so, Margaret. All testimonials gratefully received.
And shall I tell you why it's been my very great pleasure, Michael?
Well, I tell you what, Margaret, let's not go around in circles, It's very nice indeed to be on the receiving end of all these compliments, but as far as our millions and trillions of listeners are concerned, it must get just that teeny-weeny bit boring, don't you reckon? Boring! And tonight's award, folks, for the wooden spoon of Bore of the Year goes to Mike Farrow on personal call. Talking of which, ring 24400, and the lovely Glow will put you through. That is, needless to say, when she finally comes out of the carsy. Are you still there, Margot?
Still here, Tony.
Tony, what's with the Tony?
It's my new name for you. Every time you call me Margot, from now on, I'm going to call you Tony.
Oh, wallop! I walked straight into that one, didn't I? You certainly did, Tone. Margaret, my humble and groveling apologies.
Oh, that's quite all right.
Okay. Hey, Margaret, I've had this great, stupendous idea. Seeing as how this is a chat show, why don't you and me have a chat, I mean, what do you do in the evenings? You read, you sew, you watch telly, what?
You've asked me that already, Michael.
What?
I say you've asked me that already.
Oh, yeah, but you didn't answer the question, did you? Something tells me we got kind of sidetracked back there. Now, what do you do in the evenings, Margaret?
Oh, well, nothing very much. The usual things. As I said earlier, I don't get out much these days. I sew, watch telly, read quite a lot.
What do you read, Margaret?
Oh, I'm very fond of Georgette Heyer.
Is that so? Georgette who?
Georgette Heyer.
Fantastic. What about cooking, Margaret? You must eat. Everybody eats. Are you a good cook, bad cook, so-so cook, or what?
Well, to tell you the truth, and though I say it as shouldn't, I was a very good cook.
Note past tense. What went wrong? You set the frying pan on fire?
No, my husband left me, as I said. It's no fun cooking, Michael, if you've nobody to cook for. So these days I don't bother. I just make myself a salad type of thing, or Welsh rarebit type of thing.
Welsh rarebit. I could fork down a Welsh rarebit right this minute.
Oh, well, you're always welcome to try one of mine. As I said, whenever you're in the neighborhood
Margaret, do not give the address over the air. There's some very funny people about, and who knows, they might just take it into their heads, lady living on her own, crash, bang, wallop. Do you know what I mean? These things, unfortunately, do happen. What do you do when you've scoffed the Welsh rarebit?
Ah, well, now you're asking.
I am indeed.
Because ever since your program started, and I said I've been a regular listener right from the inception, I've had my little routine.
Yeah? Eats Welsh rarebit, puts cat out, switches on tranny. I can picture it now. What a cozy life you listeners lead.
Cozier than you think, my dear.
Oh, yeah?
Because, as you say, I have my Welsh rabbit or whatever it might be. Then I do the washing up. I don't put the cat out because I don't have a cat. But what I do is I have my bath. I have a lovely hot bath every night of the week, Michael. Winter and summer alike.
Cleanest show on the air, folks.
Then I get ready for bed, put on my dressing gown type of thing, lock up. And by that time, I'm just waiting for your program. Personal call. With one exception.
How do you mean, Margaret, with one exception?
The exception to my little routine. Which is on the nights when I take it in my head to ring you up and have one of our little chats. And on those particular nights, well, usually I wear men's pajamas and my old wool dressing gown. But on those particular nights, I always wear something special.
Don't tell me. Your best frilly nightie.
Well, it has got frills on it, yes. But if you was to see it, I don't think frilly would be the word you'd use. It's what you might call, very eye-catching.
Very nice, too. Margaret, what do you have for breakfast?
Half a grapefruit. But getting back to the subject of my nightie...
Margaret, the subject of your nightie, while absolutely fascinating both to me and also to my mate Dave... who is sitting in his glass playpen with his great sloppy mouth open. The subject, Margaret, is barred, okay?
It's see-through.
And surprise, surprise.
Am I embarrassing you?
Yes.
If you'd had one of them, what are they called, video telephones, where you can see whoever's ringing up, you'd have the surprise of your life tonight, Michael.
Thank you and good night, Margaret. Hey, you late birds, night owls, and other feathered friends, with or without your see-through frilly nighties. Honestly, what a lady. She'll get me shot.
I'm not wearing it tonight, Michael.
Oh, well, it's 5 minutes after 2 o'clock, and hey, don't go away. We've got lots more calls lined up here on this last and ultimate personal call till 4, and back with you after this message.
As a matter of fact, I'm not wearing anything.
Oh, God.
I'm in what I believe is known as the all-together. Seeing it's our last night together, Michael.
You stupid git! You're pushing the wrong bloody switch. That one, you drunken bloody...
Minicabs, minicabs, minicabs. If you've been to a party...
Wishes to thank all those who answered a recent advertisement for audio typists, trainee VAT invoice clerks, and senior grade admin personnel. Owing to unforeseen circumstances, these vacancies no longer exist, and no further applications can be considered.
I know I could have cut her off, Glow, but where would that have left me? Sitting here yakking to myself while you're tarting yourself up in the bog. And that one's winding bloody tapes around his neck. Well, listen. If that bloody frustrated ratbag cow rings up again and you put her through, I will personally... Yowie. Oh, wallop. I thought we had 30 seconds there and we didn't have 30 seconds. Did we, Dave? And you didn't wave your podgy little hands to say we were back on the air, did you, little Davey Wavy? Oh, dear. Behind the scenes at Mike Farrow's personal call. High drama at Second City Radio. Well, up. truly, folks, that wasn't rehearsed. You did, in fact, tune in to me and Glo having a bit of a Barney on account of she was in the loo when she should have been on the switchboard. We do have these spats from time to time, as in even the best of regulated families, but she loves me, really, don't you, Glo? Huh? You're going to wash your mouth out with soap and water. And, of course, as everybody I'm sure appreciates, we do from time to time have calls where the caller is just that little bit difficult. Nothing personal, but we do try to run the program as smoothly as we can. Hey, why don't we do just that? And we have a call. Yes, Gloria, pray put the gentleman through. Good morning to you, sir.
Hello.
Your name is...
This is Joe.
Joe. Not the Joe by any happy chance.
Pardon?
Yes, it is. It's the Joe. Gloria, the light of my life. Do we have another call waiting? We do. Good. Then will you remove Joe from the line at once and for all, for now, forever, and put the next call through? Thank you. Good morning, sir, madam. Is this a lady caller or a gentleman caller?
Hello.
It is neither. It is Joe. Look, Joe, my old buddy, will you at this point in time replace your receiver or alternatively deposit it in some convenient orifice? Do not call us Joe. We will call you. Can I have the next caller, please? Good morning, and your name is...
Hello, Mike. Yeah. This is Steve.
Steve. Steve. Now, don't tell me. I never forget a voice. I never forget a name. Not often, that is. Steve, you rang earlier, right?
Right.
Right. You were cut off, right?
Yeah, right.
Right, by the efficient Gloria, the envy of every switchboard operator in town. And you were an art student, right?
Sociology and community values, actually, yeah.
So I was half right. 5 out of 10. Not a bad score, this ungodly, huh? So, what's on your mind, Steve? Steve. Oh, God. Glow, my little flyer, you have lost Steve again. Now, I want you to think very hard about where you've put him. I'm going to count to five, and I want Steve, the student, back on the blower. All right? One, two, three, five. Aha! You're there, Steve, my long-lost friend.
Hello?
That's not Steve.
This is Wally.
Wally? You know, for an incredible, suspicious moment there, Wally, I thought you were somebody else. Okay, Wally. Wally, you are standing in for Steve, who is out there in the ether somewhere, or maybe he's being held prisoner in Glow's switchboard. Okay, what's the good news, Wally?
It's appertaining to some remarks which you unfortunately let drop a few moments ago, and which I can only describe as unfortunate. I made a verbatim note of them, Mike, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed to me that you referred to a certain viewer... listener, as a...
Yeah, well, unfortunate is right, Wally. We hit these snags from time to time. No offense meant. I apologize to the good lady, okay?
As, according to my verbatim note, a bloody frustrated ratbag cow.
Did I say that? I'm sure I did not say that, Wally.
Now, the point I'm coming to, if you'll bear with me, is this. Frustrated that lady may have been, but you can look at everything two ways. And I am suggesting to you, Mike, that a better word you could have employed... would have been to describe that lady as lonely.
I won't argue with that, Wally. We get a lot of lonely people on the show.
But to come to the point of my question, which is, would it be possible for you to give me that lady's address in confidence?
No way. No way. We have a policy here, Wally. A very strict policy.
Oh, well...
No address is given out over the air. Definitely no address is passed on. We're just not in the Friendship Bureau market, though I know you mean well, okay?
Mike, I can appreciate it very well. Only you mentioned just now lonely people. Have you ever considered, if what one reads in the papers is true, that you might one of these fine days find yourself in that particular capacity yourself?
Hang on. Hang on just one little tick. What did you say your name was?
Barton?
I thought so. Glow, get the creep off the line and keep him off the line. Phew. Okay, we're going to take a break now. Stay tuned. Back soon. Dave? Dave? We are going to take a break now. Thank you, Dave.
Second City Radio, reaching the North Second City on 175 meters medium wave.
Hey, all you night owls, insomniacs, and waking dreamers, this is the big one. Personal call, midnight through 4 a.m. with me, Mike Farrow, and Dave in his little soundproof box. Say hello nicely, Dave. And the delectable Glow to take all your calls on 24400. Say hello, Glow.
Why, hello.
175 meters on your radio dial, 24400 on your telephone dial. Don't go away. This is Mike Farrow with you after this message.
Or to put it another way, this is Mike Farrow with you before this message. Who needs messages anyway? Answer, I do. Any messages, Glow?
Hello, Mike. This is Steve.
Steve, a voice from the past. Now you see him, now you don't. Hang about, all you good people, and watch Steve vanish before your very eyes. Abracadabra! Are you there, Steve? Oh, my God. Steve is not there. Steve has vanished in a puff of smoke. Once more, our little Glow has achieved the impossible. And now for her next trick. Ta-da! Come on, Glow. Where's Joe? Hmm? Pardon? It is Joe. It isn't Joe. It's a lady. And a very, very good morning to you, whoever you may be.
Good morning, Mike. This is Yvette.
Say again.
Yvette. I was christened Barbara, but now I call myself Yvette.
Well, that's just like my old pal Joe. Pardon? He was christened Joe. He calls himself Wally now. Yeah, Yvette, how are you this 7 minutes past 2 a.m., Yvette?
By the sound of things, in better nick than you.
What?
Well, let's face it, Mike. You're just that little bit on edge tonight, aren't you?
Well, that's one way of putting it, Yvette. I suppose, in fact, it's the only way of putting it.
You should relax more. Take things easy style of thing. I bet you find that difficult, don't you?
Now, wait a minute. Who's asking the questions around here? What is this, a diagnosis?
I do know what I'm talking about, Mike, because in the kind of job I've been doing, I come across very, very many people in the same kind of state. Know what I mean? All tense.
Tense? You reckon I'm tense?
I know you are. I can spot it a mile off style of thing. Always could do. Always been able to style of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yvette, you said just there, in the kind of job you've been doing. What kind... No, wait a minute. I won't ask you. Just for a change, let me guess. Okay, it's 20 questions, gang. Now, Yvette, just by the sound of your voice, Are you connected with show business in any way?
Loosely.
Loosely? Meaning that in the nicest possible way, I hope and trust. Loosely connected with show business. Now, you're not a singer?
No, I do sing. I'll get up sometimes if we're out with friends in a pub or wherever.
Terrific.
But I'm definitely not a singer.
And you're not in show business, but loosely connected with it. A loose connection. I make you sound like a 13-amp plug. Yvette, are you by any chance connected with the wonderful, wonderful world of Clubland?
Yes, definitely.
All right. You are one of those beautiful ladies who sit at gentlemen's tables while they order champagne at 12 quid a go and pour out all their troubles.
A club hostess style of thing. Near enough, Mike. I'll give you 9 points out of 10 for trying. What I am, I'm a club receptionist.
A club receptionist. That's very nice.
I won't mention the exact name of the club.
No, don't do that.
Especially because from tonight, I'm in exactly the same state as what you are.
Tense.
Unemployed. I've been given the big elbow style of thing.
Oh, what a shame. As you say, Yvonne, that makes two of us. No, not Yvonne, Yvette. Sorry about that. Well, I'll see you in the dough queue, Yvette. Hey, what did you do? Pour coffee down the boss's starched shirt front, or what?
You mean why I got the sack style of thing?
Right.
That's just exactly what I'm ringing through to tell you.
Okay, but on no account tell me the name of the club, right?
Right. It is a club that is known to you personally.
Well, let's see. That narrows it down to, three clubs.
If I mention an electronic football game just inside the door... And you and your wife used to come in about two or three times a week early on, and you'd leave her there having a drink, and you'd come round and pick her up after the programme style of thing.
I'm with you, Yvette.
And you got very friendly with the manager.
Right.
And there was also a certain young lady who was the manager's girlfriend style of thing at that time, and she sometimes used to join you for a drink. And the name of that young lady was Yvette.
Yvette, of course it was. I knew the name rang a bell, Yvette. I just couldn't place you. Hey. It's really nice to hear from you again. It's really super, yeah. How long has it been now? Months and months and months.
Since you stopped using the club?
Mm.
7 months.
Long as that?
It is as long as that, Mike.
Well.
Of course. You know she still goes there, don't you?
What?
I say, you know your wife still goes in the club 3 or 4 times a week while you're doing your program.
So what do you want her to do, Yvette? Sit at home knitting?
So you know all about it?
Of course I know all about it.
Well, here's something you didn't know. Every time she goes in that club, she's only there 30 minutes, and then she and Bob, you know who I mean by Bob, don't you? The manager style of thing. She and Bob vanish for the rest of the evening. And that's why he's rowed me out, because I told him straight out he wasn't running two women at once. And now you know, style of thing.
We're going to take a break there. Be with you after this message.
Second City Radio, reaching the North Second City on 175 meters medium wave. Stay tuned for Mike Farrow's personal call on Second City Radio, midnight through 4.
Exciting. The author of the night show.
And hello, all you night owls and hell raisers home with the milk who've just tuned in at 12 minutes after the astonishing hour of 2 a.m. on this last personal call of the present season. Hey, why don't you keep those calls rolling in? And the number to ring is, you know the number to ring. It's 24400. 24400. And don't fret too much if the lovely glow keeps you waiting a while. We have to keep those calls stacked like aircraft waiting to land at Heathrow because there's always something going on when it's your personal call to Mike Farrow here on Second City Radio. And if you've just tuned in, I want to tell you, boy, have you missed the program this evening. For example, if you just tuned in, you would or might have heard a lady going by the name of Yvette. And Yvette, if you're still tuned in, you were talking the most absolute codswallop. But there you go. Everything happens on personal call 24400. And let's try and deal now with that stampede at the switchboard. Glow, why don't you put them through one by one? Two by two, like the animals in the ark. I hear a human voice. Good evening.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah, good morning, as the case may be. I'm speaking to...
It's Margaret again.
Oh, my God.
And before you say anything at all, Mike, I want you to know that it's not Gloria's fault, because I took a tip from that gentleman, what was his name, Joe, who came back calling himself Wally. And in my case, I came back saying I was Mrs. Ballantyne, which is what, in fact, I am, that being my married name. So your glow was definitely not to know who it was that got through.
Margaret, I no longer care. I don't care if you're Margaret or Joe or Mrs. Perkins or King Faisal. What do you want?
Can you hear me all right?
Regrettably, yes.
I only ask because I can't hear myself very well. I've taken some pills.
What?
My sleeping pills. After what I heard you say about me, Michael, on the air, on your program, to, I don't know, thousands and thousands of listeners.
What thousands of listeners? What thousands of listeners?
Well, however many. That was cruel, what you said, Michael. So, I thought no more about it. I went to the bathroom and I took my pills.
How many? How many? Glow? Glow, are you listening? Ring the police. 99 bloody 9, you stupid bitch. What number do you think? Margaret, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Michael.
Now, look, walk about. Listen, Margaret, before you walk about, how many pills have you taken?
I can't hear you, Michael. I can't hear you very well.
How many bloody pills have you taken?
How many? Did you say how many?
Look, I want you to get up, walk about the room, Margaret, but I want you to tell me how many sleeping pills have you taken?
Two?
You rang me up to say you've taken two frigging sleeping pills? I don't believe it.
It's the God's truth, Michael. And before I go to sleep for the night in the new...
Get her off!
Hello?
Get her off!
Hello?
I'm not here, I've gone!
Hello?
Hello? Yes?
Hello, Mike. This is Steve.
Steve?
Yeah, right. That lost.
Right. And the form is this. I say hello, Steve. You say hello, Mike. I say, what can I do for you? And hey, presto, suddenly it's not Steve at all. It's Joe calling himself Wally. Or it's Margaret taking two bloody sleeping pills. Now, look, you've been on four times already. What is this, some kind of practical joke?
Well, you can't blame me, Mike. Every time I start to ask me a question, I get cut off.
You're not cut off now, are you?
Not for the time being.
So, what do you want?
My question is this, Mike. When I get out of college, which I expect to do at the end of this summer, how do I go about working in radio, and what are the qualifications for a program such as yours?
What are the qualifications?
Right.
I mean, you don't want to know if it's true what you read in the papers, or who is my wife shacking up with, or what I'll be doing for a job this time. You just want to know what are the qualifications.
Right.
Right, well, I'll tell you. Listen, Steve, is there a derelict site anywhere near where you live?
A derelict site?
Yeah, somewhere they've pulled down a building, and there's a lot of old concrete and blades of grass and stones and all like that. Well, you go out, Steve, now, with a torch and a tape recorder, right? And you lift up the nearest stone, right? And you'll find a whole bunch of creepy, crawly insects scurrying about, and you shove the mic under their nostrils, and you say, hey, it's personal call, what's your problem, what's on your mind? And some little white slug will say, hello, pardon, this is Joe. And if you're very lucky, there'll be a little ladybird with no clothes on. Hello, my name's Margaret, I'm neurotic, that's what I'm doing up at 2:30 in the morning. And there'll be a little black beetle called what, Yvette? Do you happen to know what your wife's up to while you're talking to all these ladybirds and slugs? Well, they are the night people, Steve, like you and me. Well, do you want the night people, Steve? Well, you can have them starting as from this moment. Hey, you wonderful night owls and dreamers on Second City Radio. It's coming up to 20 minutes after the witching hour of 2. And screw you!
Hello?
Second City Radio, reaching the North Second City on 175 meters medium wave. Owing to revised schedules, the times of several regular programs have been changed. See your evening newspaper for details.
Hello? Hello? Hello, this is Joe. Only I've been listening very carefully indeed to your program, which I always do when not working nights. And I would like to take you up on what I think is rightly called a popular misconception. Hello? Hello? What it's in connection with, it was telling that good lady to walk about after taking two sleeping pills. And this is a fallacy, in my humble opinion, which could also be dangerous. Hello? Hello, this is Joe. Hello?
The All Through the Night Show. Yeah. Enticing. How dare you
The Last Phone-In by Keith Waterhouse. John Shrapnel was heard as Mike. Janet Dale, Margaret. Peter Wheeler, Joe. Christian Rodska, Steve. And Marlet Lester, Yvette. The play was produced by the BBC and presented by Earplay, the Radio Drama Production Center for Public Broadcasting.
Earplay is made possible by grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. This is NPR, National Public Radio.